Welcome to the Talk Show for Talkers on irishtalkers.com. Welcome, Toastmasters, to part two of this week's Talk Show for Talkers. You're very welcome. This week, we have another interviewee. I'm delighted to welcome Toastmaster Anya O'Neill. Anya, you're very welcome to the Talk Show for Talkers. First of all, what is your home club? And do you belong to more than one club, or are you just...
I belong to more than one club. I'm in two clubs, actually, but my home club is my place of work, Irish Life. And I also, in the last year, I've joined Viking Voices because I'm from Clontarf in Dublin, and that's my local club. So I'm in two clubs.
Okay, that's good. And just to explain a little bit of what we do, we have five questions which we ask to all our guests, be they world champions, presidents, international presidents, or the lowest of the low, the new Toastmaster who's only just joined. So some of the questions might be a little bit difficult if you're such a new Toastmaster. How long have you been in Toastmasters?
Since 2018, I think it was October 2018, the Irish Life Club was set up. So I was there from the very start, which was very exciting. So that's coming up to 3 years now.
Okay.
I was one of the founding members of the Irish Life Club.
Okay, what brought you then to Toastmasters? Was it the club, forming the club itself, or did you want to come to Toastmasters before that?
I wanted to come to Toastmasters before that. I had visited the Toastmasters Club in Buswell's Hotel there on Molesworth Street once or twice, but I just couldn't make that particular time. So I let it slide for a few years. And then when one started up in work, I thought this is ideal because, you know, it was in lunchtime and it just fitted in nicely with my schedule. So I was delighted. It was a win-win for me. You know, it was really great that it was started up.
Excellent. And what has been the greatest benefit to you of being a member of Toastmasters?
I think the greatest benefit, there's been several benefits, but the greatest one is that you go outside your comfort zone every week if you want to, because you can take on a new role. Like last night, I was the host in the Viking Voices meeting and I was operating Zoom and, you know, getting used to technology. Other times you're the general evaluator and trying to listen very carefully to the evaluations, the speeches, all the different parts that form a Toastmasters meeting. So your listening skills are really honed. And the benefits are multiple in Toastmasters. You know, there's no end to them really, because you're socializing, you're networking without even knowing it. You're, you know, learning new skills all the time, not just public speaking, but just how to, you know, move forward in your own life and develop your own skills, your own personal development and confidence. There's multiple benefits to Toastmasters.
Were you used to Zoom before we had to go online?
No, never. I had never even heard of Zoom, to be perfectly honest. So in work, I had to organize some social calls and things, and I got used to it fairly quick. But I'm still learning, you know, about Zoom and technology, MS Teams, all that. So, you know, it's a constant learning for me.
Sure. What have you found to be your biggest Toastmaster challenge?
The biggest one, I think, was when I joined first, I had this idea that I was quite a good speaker. And a lot of people join Toastmasters thinking they can't do it at all. I was the opposite. I thought, oh, I'm fine at the speaking and I'll just have fun and go in and enjoy myself. I've done a few speeches before, but I realized there's a lot more to speaking than just rocking up and trotting out a few words, which is probably more accurate reflection of what I had done before. And there's a whole skill set there that you need to work on. So my challenge was kind of overcoming my ego, I suppose. And, you know, really realizing that, you know, this is something I could work at. When I did my icebreaker, it wasn't great. Now, I have to admit, in in the Irish Life Toastmasters, but I went back and did my second speech, and which I remember was about the concept of time. And I was very interested in that and the different concepts we have of time, like, you know, how it goes so slowly when you're waiting, or if you're, you know, enjoying something, it goes very quickly, different concepts and different time zones, and the way they only came into play, you know, recently enough in, you know, our history. So all that was very interesting to me. And to go back and do a second speech was a challenge for me, because my icebreaker hadn't gone so well, even though I was expecting it to go really well, because I had done a few probably presentations before in, you know, in my own life outside of Toastmasters. So that was a challenge for me, you know, sticking with it and improving and learning that it was huge skill to be gained from it all.
I think your experience is probably shared by many, many, many other Toastmasters. I think I could empathize with that, because I thought when I came to Toastmasters, I wasn't a bad speaker. I just lacked confidence.
Yeah.
My icebreaker went very well, because I was talking about me and everyone, you know, talk about yourself, it's relatively straightforward. And then when it came to the second speech, what an earth, help!
Yeah.
So, I can quite understand. You've been in Toastmasters now a couple of years, so you know how Toastmasters works. If you had the choice, if you were up there as the international director, international president, chief executive, etc., what would you change in Toastmasters?
I suppose maybe if there was more interaction between clubs, which I know clubs are trying to do, and our club in Irish Life tries to visit other clubs, that would be a good one, you know, because it's a huge network, and sometimes corporate clubs might feel a little bit out of it, and that would help, I think, maintain membership. And that kind of thing, if there was more encouragement for networking between clubs, perhaps.
That I was thinking it's really down to the area directors and the divisional directors to encourage. But many clubs I know tend to be very, not isolated, but they're cozy little cabals, and they like to keep themselves to themselves. But with corporate clubs, it tends to be a bit different, doesn't it? Because corporate clubs like to be within their organization, and they're not hugely interested in other Toastmasters or in Toastmasters itself, really, apart from the fact that they're developing their members in public speaking and confidence.
Yeah, I think there's you know, a lot of scope there for enlightening maybe corporate clubs that, you know, that it is a big network, that it is open to them to liaise with other clubs, and that it's not just, you know, using the pathways model that, you know, you're given when you sign up or whatever, that, you know, if you do ask to visit a neighbouring club, which we have done in Irish Life on several occasions, you can learn a huge amount, and, you know, you can really see what Toastmasters is all about, particularly if you're just starting off and you want to know how to operate a club and that kind of thing. Or, you know, even if you're a little bit into the process and you want to just move on with, you know, your learnings and that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What keeps you coming back to Toastmasters?
The enjoyment of it. I think that's what keeps me coming back. And particularly in lockdown, it was lovely to be online. And Toastmasters is very conducive to being online, even though it's better to be in a room with people. But, you know, there things like football, obviously, you can't do online, you know, or those kind of things. But Toastmasters works very well online because, you know, it just transfers quite neatly onto Zoom as a platform. So I really enjoy meeting people and also seeing them blossom and really flourish, like from being a nervous icebreaker to moving on then and going up the path and, you know, taking on roles. You see people really moving out of their comfort zones the whole time in Toastmasters. And it's wonderful because it's like a playground for people you know, outside their work. You know, we're in our lunch break in Irish life doing it, and you're in a very supportive environment. Nobody is going to just put you down completely. Like, you do have, you know, the critical points, and it's always done in a constructive way. That's the ethos of Toastmasters. Yeah. So it's really just a wonderful organization.
Indeed. Indeed. Have you ever been tempted to take one of the district roles, say an area director or division director?
I haven't.
What roles have you taken within your club?
I was the vice president of education in Irish Life Toastmasters. I was the vice president of membership before that. Yeah. And I didn't take on the president role simply because my mother was very sick, and I'm her carer as well. So I didn't take on that role, but I'm quite busy with my mother at the moment. So I wouldn't be considering the more higher roles at the moment.
Okay. Well, thank you very much indeed, Anya. It's been a pleasure talking with you. Perhaps you'd like to stay on and we can talk some more in episode 4, which will be coming up in 2 days' time.
Yes, that'd be great. Thank you.
That's excellent. Join us again tomorrow when Paul will be turning his beady eye, on public relations and maybe having some suggestions which could be useful to your club. See you then.
The Talk Show for Talkers is published every week in sections at 4 p.m. every Friday, Saturday, Sunday and Monday. Go to our website, irishtalkers.com, for more information.